This is 5 o'clock shadow on the Pacifica Radio Network, and in today's program, the latest offenses and countermeasures regarding the Obama administration's NSA surveillance regime on American citizens. This is 5 o'clock shadow. I'm Robert Knight in New York, and there are developments moving very quickly in regard to the NSA surveillance regime that is being detailed day by day by the NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden. In our previous program, we presented in full an English transcription of the press conference held over the weekend by Mr. Snowden, and the latest information we have is now that the Russian government has confirmed his formal application for asylum, temporary asylum, that he said during that press conference that he intends to help him get to one of the nations in Central or South America that has offered asylum, among those Nicaragua, Ecuador, Bolivia, and Venezuela. And in regard to the growing outrage of American citizens in regard to the NSA surveillance regime, we have this item that has just come to our attention from San Francisco. The Media Alliance Project joined 18 other not-for-profit membership associations, including Greenpeace, CalGuns, People for the American Way, the Council on Islamic American Relations, and many others, as plaintiffs in a lawsuit filed by the Electronic Frontier Foundation against the National Security Administration, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and the Department of Justice, specifically naming Attorney General Eric Holder, NSA Director Keith Alexander, and National Intelligence Director James Clapper. And in order to get more insight on this and all the other breaking developments in regard to the NSA scandal, we are now joined live by Norman Solomon of RootsAction.org and many other progressive projects. Welcome back to the shadow, Norman.
Hi, Robert.
The last time we were together, we were in the midst of an international act of air piracy with the forcing down of the president of Bolivia's airplane at the urging of the Obama administration. And since that time, we have heard once again from Edward Snowden himself speaking at a Moscow airport press conference. What is your latest understanding of his situation?
Well, he's really stuck in Russia for now, I think. And it's quite true that the U.S. government, having cut off avenues of travel for him, now complains that he's in Russia. I guess they want him to be on Mars or Venus or something. But really, it's notable that the outrage at the diversion and the blocking of the plane of the president of a sovereign country, namely Bolivia, is the weakest closer to the centers of power. In other words, when you have the reality that in Washington, with the press corps, there's been very little outrage at what, if the shoe were on the other foot, there, you know, people would have been jumping up and down on Meet the Press and Face the Nation and Congress and the White House and so forth, but because it was done at the behest of the United States rather than against the United States, it's been very muted, and I think that's very telling. You know, where we are now is that the same U.S. government that believes it has the right to wiretap and capture emails and text messages of anybody on the planet is also asserting its right to prevent travel anywhere on the planet by someone it doesn't like, in this case, Edward Snowden.
Well, there's Face the Nation, but there's also the issue of Trace the Nation. And I'm beginning to see incipient signs of a great deluge of resistance to the electronic email, telephone call recording, data storage in Utah by the NSA, and virtually every electronic transaction of American citizens being cataloged and thereby being used for future jeopardy by selective release thereof. And among them is the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation lawsuit against the Obama administration, the Attorney General, and the so-called Directors of Intelligence. How is that going, as far as you know, Norman?
Well, I think it's terrific that it's been filed, and as I think you mentioned, you know, it's been joined in by other groups, including, I saw today, a Free Press organization. capital F, capital P. And I think that it is clearly addressing, among other things, the matter of standing, which, you know, has in the past, I know the ACLU was able to file its own suit just recently here in early summer, because for a long time the U.S. government was saying, oh, you can't sue us over our surveillance policy. How do you know that you're being surveilled? You don't have standing. Well, everybody on the planet, I would say 7 or 8 billion people have standing right now because we're all in the audio and wiretapping and vacuum up the email crosshairs of the U.S. government. And really, I think it comes down to whether the Bill of Rights is going to mean something. When you've got the First Amendment having to do with assuring freedom of the press, and then you've got this wholesale grabbing of records of Associated Press and also going after and surveilling Fox News, all with an attempt to cut off sources. You have the entire Fourth Amendment in terms of us being secure in our place and persons and not a general warrant but a specific warrant being required. That has entirely been blotted out by the Obama administration. And, of course, due process, the Fifth Amendment, and contrary to what appears to be the case, as I think Stephen Colbert pointed out, this president seems to think that due process is anything he chooses to do. In fact, the Fifth Amendment is pretty explicit about due process. So there's a huge amount at stake, and we need to escalate our opposition to these policies rather than letting it subside.
One of the things that is of great concern is the fact that rogues or people without proper authorization, due process, or Fourth or First or Fifth Amendment protections is able to access these records, which by all rights should not exist according to the specificity of a search warrant. And I'm very much concerned about how damaging information can be selectively released by those seeking future revenge. But another thought occurs to me, especially in the light of this week's developments in regard to the trial of George Zimmerman, and once again, the termination this time by a jury and a set of prosecutors of arguably incompetent methods, that with the sweep of the NSA, would it not be plausible to think that they have a recording, if not yet analyzed, stored somewhere in Utah or somewhere heading to Utah, of Trayvon Martin's last conversation?
Well, unfortunately, it's plausible that the NSA has a recording of every phone conversation that's taken place in recent years, something not possible in previous eras because of the technological limitations, but now we have just this digital technological bonanza that is available to those with enough money and big enough computers, which would be, of course, inclusive of the NSA. And I think this goes to the question of what kind of society we want to have and whether there's any meaningful accountability or whether, in fact, the surveillance state is a rogue state. And if so, then democracy goes by the board. So I think this is all about the informed consent of the governed. How can we have consent of the governed that's meaningful in any sense if the governed don't know what the heck is being done in their names with their tax dollars by a government that is functionally unaccountable?
Norman, as when we were together the other day on Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein, I used the phrase a few times that we are in totally uncharted territory, at that time referring to the air piracy. But it occurs to me that legally speaking, constitutionally and juridically speaking, we are also in new territory, because how many cases would have different outcomes if people had the right to FOI the NSA, to sue for information that we have every plausible reason to believe is being stored by the government for exculpatory or accusatory evidence and testimony in trials?
Yes, well, Common Dreams reported on the web a couple of days ago on the case of somebody who did an FOIA request of the NSA, was told basically, forget it, are you out of your mind? We're not accountable on any of this. And the net result is you have a government that's, you know, not even shadow government, it's totally opaque by design. And it then brings us back to the question of how can we assert power over a government that's supposed to represent people rather than being power imposed on people.
One of the more disturbing elements of it is the lockstep of members of Congress, the legislative branch that is presumed to protect the Constitution and represent its citizens and their rights and protections. And Norman, it almost brings tears to one's eyes to hear so-called liberals, so-called progressives, be it Franken or Feinstein or whether it be Pelosi or Obama or any of the other amen chorus in Congress who are speaking with what seems to me greater rationality about protecting the NSA surveillance state. What is it that makes them deviate from so-called liberal or progressive politics? Is it blackmail or stupidity or just trying to get along so they don't get in trouble?
I'd say what's overwhelming is loyalty to party and power and not wanting to be the odd man or woman out. This is a hierarchy after all. You've got Obama, you've got Reid in the Senate, Pelosi in the House, and we have sort of gradations where you've got people like Dianne Feinstein, head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, saying she full-throatedly supports this surveillance. Then you've got people like the House Democratic leader Pelosi, who out in California, we were picketing here the other day over her surveillance support, who says she basically supports it, doesn't make a big deal out of it. And then you have a lot of others in Congress who are Democrats who basically mumble their concern. If a house is burning down, which is to say much of the Bill of Rights, and you mumble your concern and you say, oh, I think the balance is a bit out of whack, but you don't really make a big deal out of it, you also are complicit. And I would have to say, people listening to BAI, New York, New Jersey, the chances are that the Democrats in Congress representing you are mumbling their concern, if they're doing that at all. And it's essential, as members of Congress come home from recess, that we meet them, that we nonviolently confront them at the town hall meetings, at the public events, at their offices, and say, no, you don't get to trash the Bill of Rights, not on our watch, because we have a different agenda.
This is 5 O'Clock Shadow. We're speaking with Norman Solomon. I'm Robert Knight in New York. And Norman, there has been the beginnings of a Reclaim the Constitution movement all across the country. So we've spoken about the EFF lawsuit and its amicus curiae and the supporters of that lawsuit. And you yourself, just a couple of days ago, were involved in a stunningly creative event in California at the home and or the fundraising site of the most powerful woman in the House in the Democratic Party, Nancy Pelosi. Can you take a moment or two to tell us about what you did there?
Yes, this was a fundraiser up to $32,400 a couple just north of the Golden Gate Bridge here in Marin County. It wasn't supposed to be publicized at all. The invitation was, so to speak, leaked to us at the Coalition for Grassroots Progress here. And we showed up in force, close to 100 people with picket signs and speakers, including many from the California Democratic Party, challenging Nancy Pelosi's support for the NSA surveillance program. And I think those who attended were taken aback. And I'd like to think that this is a prototype for what can be done later this summer around the country as Democrats who are complicit and part of the surveillance agenda of the Obama administration come home to raise money and ostensibly listen to their constituents. We need to really raise hell. And in terms of national networking, I want to invite people to the website of rootsaction.org. We have a petition, Mr. President, hands off Edward Snowden. We're doing a lot of other work on this where you can message your members of Congress. Online, not sufficient, but a good supplement to what you're going to do on the ground. So everybody's invited. We're on the web at rootsaction.org.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Norman. And because of the nascent creativity and vibrance of the protests that you had a large part in regard to Nancy Pelosi and her seeking money while jettisoning the Constitution, I want to share that with our listeners today. And once again, Norman, my greatest respect and thanks.
Thanks, Robert.
This is 5 O'Clock Shadow. We go now to California, where just a couple of days ago, there was a great speak-out of citizens against the NSA surveillance regime and the politics of money as usual by so-called liberal Democrats at the home site of Nancy Pelosi.
Yay! I'm Norman Solomon. I'm one of the co-chairs of the Coalition for Grassroots Progress. And our first speaker here today is Julie Combs. She's a longtime friend and activist with and of progressives in the North Bay. She's a longtime member of Progressive Democrat Sonoma County. And thanks to the work that she has done and so many other progressives have done, she is now a member of the Santa Rosa City Council. So without further ado, Julie Combs.
Thank you. Thank you, Norman. Thank you for organizing this, Norman. Thank you for doing this, and thanks to everybody who has come out today. You know, other countries have been manning the barricades. People have been coming out in other countries, and I'm so relieved to see that we value our rights so much that we too will come out and speak. So thank you for coming out and speaking up. I'm coming before you today as a private citizen. And I want to be clear that private citizen should not be an oxymoron. It should be possible for each of us to be a private citizen. And I'm here to ask, with great respect of Nancy Pelosi and of our Congress, to do what is truly American. To support our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. Yeah. The Fourth Amendment, one of my favorites. What I'm going to do is read the Fourth Amendment because I want to be really clear what it says. John Adams was in large part responsible for getting the Fourth Amendment into our Constitution because of the atrocities and the overreaching actions of a tyrannical government, the British government. This is a fundamental part of our United States Revolution. This is a fundamental piece of our founding fathers' work. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, their houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. Warrants shall be issued but upon probable cause. Yes. And supported by oath or affirmation and particularly describing the place to be searched, the persons or things to be seized. This is a right of all private citizens in the United States. It is a right which cannot be abrogated by any branch of government. It is a right of the person. So spying on the U.S., spying on us, the U.S., spying on us is improper, and it is without lawful authority. And it creates a chilling effect on free speech, which leads to a violation of the First Amendment. So we are here asking Nancy Pelosi and our Congress to protect America and American citizens, to protect us in the manner that our founding fathers established in the Bill of Rights, to exert American powers, the American powers of the system of checks and balances, to protect ourselves. We need Nancy Pelosi and our Congress to speak clearly now, to speak clearly to re-secure our privacy rights. Yeah. Yes. So I want you to do a tongue-twisting chant with me. First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, yes. First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, yes.
First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, yes!
One more.
First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, yes!
Thank you.
I, I, lo-
and it's proof that you don't have to rhyme a chant to make it a really good one. We might consider remembering that one, as after the talks here, we all single file go all the way down Eucalyptus, loop around, pass the reception, or you might say give a different kind of reception for Nancy Pelosi. Our next speaker is Bob Harmon. He's the current secretary and past president of the American Civil Liberties Union, that's of course the ACLU, chapter in Marin County. And I believe there's a banner here for the ACLU.
Right there.
So,
oh, there's another one.
And I'm very glad that we can all see the ACLU stands with us as we stand with the ACLU. Bob Harmon is also former vice chair of the Democratic Party Central Committee of Marin. And there's other biographical information he may want to share with you as he speaks. Here is Bob Harmon.
I'd like to hold a few truths to be self-evident. My name is Bob Harmon. As he told you, I'm the former chair of the ACLU in this county. The ACLU has taken a loud and dramatic interest in the Edward Snowden case, but the fact of the matter is we've been fighting this kind of data mining from the start, going back into the days of George Bush. I'm also, by the way, the former vice chair of the Democratic Party Central Committee here in Marin. That was back in the day when George Bush was president and the bad guys were all on the other side and they were all the ones that were snooping on us. I never thought we would come to this. The only reason I'm still a registered Democrat is because of people like Lynn Woolsey and Barbara Lee and Norman Solomon.
Not enough.
I can tell you, as part of the ACLU, that in some ways nothing has changed since George Bush left office. I know this because, for one thing, the pleadings that the Obama Department of Justice has been submitting in the Ninth Circuit, word for word, is the same on national security and surveillance issues. The court actually had to ask them, is this what you mean to do? Did you copy it word for word? And yes, indeed, that's just what they did. But it's gotten worse. There have been more Espionage Act prosecutions under this president than under all the previous presidents going back to Woodrow Wilson when that law was passed.
Yes.
There's been more whistleblower crackdowns. Yes. One of the reasons Edward Snowden took off the way he did, he said, was because he saw what had happened to Bradley Manning and John Kiriakou, who is currently serving time in a federal prison, and Thomas Allen, who was also prosecuted. Mm-hmm. He saw that they got stepped on. And that's one of the talking points we need to dispose of right now, is the idea that these people should have gone through channels, should have gone to the Inspector General, should have gone to the GAO. That's what got them into trouble in the first place, particularly Bradley Manning. He was just brushed off when he brought his concerns to his superiors. Where else was he going to go? And look at what's happened to him. In some ways, it's gotten worse, and he's one of the examples. I've been following that case, and I don't remember any cases from the Bush administration where an American soldier was tortured in American custody. That is the difference between George Bush and Barack Obama.
That's right.
And we better take it to heart.
That's right.
I can also tell you that the talking point about, well, I've got nothing to hide, I've heard it often enough, it's not a straw man, but guess what? Everybody's got something to hide somewhere. Yeah, maybe you are not plotting a terrorist incident, maybe you're not plotting some criminal enterprise, but there's still that data out there and they've been vacuuming up every bit of it. Is there stuff in there that you'd want your employer to see?
No.
That you'd want your kid to see?
No.
That you'd want your ex-spouse's lawyer to see?
No way.
And it may very well corrupt the political system, because if you got that data in there and your political staff are working in the White House, the temptation is to use it. If you've got a nominee of the other party that likes to dress up like a Labrador Retriever, what's to stop you from turning it out and upending the election process? Nothing except your own conscience. It's like you had the ring of power in your hand. And it isn't even in official hands. We come to find out in the Snowden case that something like 70% of our intelligence gathering has been outsourced.
Companies.
private companies.
Let's get out of the way here. That was where Snowden was working, was Rabuse Allen Hamilton, a private firm, a firm that has been hacked before. So the question... Or the Carlyle Group. The question is, what are they going to do with this data? It's in private hands. It could leak, it could get stolen, or it could get sold. And the people that like to sell you stuff on the internet would dearly pay for that information. For that matter, your information is going to be something that could add up later. They're keeping this data. They're not doing any particularity like in the Fourth Amendment about it. They're sitting on it and they're running patterns. Just your movements may suggest something to somebody someday if they have a fancy new way of analyzing it. Mm-hmm. For one thing, every one of you here, talking, hearing me right now, is already here as a matter of record. That's everybody right. Coming into the Tiburon Peninsula from whatever road gets their license plates photographed, their license plates. It's a matter of record.
Over the Golden Gate Bridge.
Over the Golden Gate Bridge, or in places like San Leandro. Private police departments are taking this information and they're running it. Maybe a few years down the road, they'll say that, okay, your movements were such and such a pattern by some analyst that has some new ideas and makes one and one make three. Or maybe you happen to be going back beyond the scene of a crime. Maybe somebody knocked over a bank and you happen to be in the street that day. What's to stop them? The principle is simple enough, and Cardinal Richelieu said it several centuries ago. He said, give me six lines written by the most honest of men, and I will find something in it with which to hang him.
Woo!
So it doesn't matter how pure you are.
That's right.
Even Jesus of Nazareth, as pure as he was, they say, that didn't stop him from getting nailed. Some of the other talking points are also easy to deal with. The idea that, well, for one thing, it's to stop terrorism.
Ooh.
How many terrorist plots were hatched in the EU embassy in Washington? How many terrorist plots in number 10 Downing Street? How many terrorist plots in Angela Merkel's office?
Right.
They're going to resent this.
It's like a shoe bomber was worked for the FBI.
And by the way, the host of this soiree today is somebody who made his fortune in high tech, software and stuff. I hope he considers, and I'd like somebody else around here to consider, just what kind of damage that is going to do, this prism, this data gathering, to our economy. One of the few things that still worked in the American economy, in the Northern California economy, was software, was computer hardware to some extent, or things like the cloud, things like Skype, things like YouTube. Now we know, and now the world knows, every citizen in it, that they're being watched through that. Do you think they're going to trust us again? Most of those firms are headquartered in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
What is that going to do when they start finding their own servers, finding their own social networks? That's what the federal government has done to us, and I would have thought that the former speaker would have thought of that. It begins and ends with the rule of law, frankly. We're seeing elsewhere in this world, partly as a result of revelations that Bradley Manning got, that if you got a country with no rule of law, you got a country in which one's property is not safe, in which if you're going to do business, you're going to have to pay money to the president's brother-in-law, or you're going to have to basically play the game by somebody else's rules. Here we had a constitution. It's not just the Fourth Amendment. It's the whole idea of the rule of law. One point I do want to make is that we're coming up in 2015 on the 800th anniversary of the signing of the Magna Carta, the Great Charter. That's the starting point in Anglo-American law for the rule of law, for the idea that you cannot be arrested without a bailiff swearing to your charges, that you cannot be prosecuted or destroyed without the rule of law and the judgment of your peers. That was all in there. Maybe it has been forgotten from time to time, but that was the starting point of everything. I'd hate to think 800 years on it didn't survive, because that was where our Constitution came from. They didn't just think of it offhand. The idea that you'd be secure in your homes and papers and effects came all the way back from there. It was one simple principle, and it was stated in the Great Charter, and it's worth reminding you today. It's in one sentence. To no one will we sell, to no one will we deny or delay right or justice. It's about as simple a concept as it gets. Say it with me. To no one will we sell, to no one will we deny or delay right or justice.
Innocent until proven guilty, not the other way around.
Thank you, Bob Harmon. Now let's remember that the fundraiser going on down the road here, which we'll be passing in a little while, is for the Democratic Party's Congressional Campaign Committee. There will be hundreds of thousands of dollars made and raised down the road here this afternoon. The Democratic Party has as its most powerful member of the House, Nancy Pelosi. She is on record publicly supporting the NSA surveillance. Now we have somebody else here, here from the Democratic Party. Caroline Banuelos is the Northern California Vice Chair of the California Democratic Party Progressive Caucus, which is the largest caucus of the California Democratic Party. She's the president of the Sonoma County Latino Democratic Club. And I'm very pleased to introduce to you Caroline Banuelos.
And thank you, Anna and Alice, for organizing this. And thank you. You guys did such great work. And look what a terrific turnout you got. I'm so impressed, because I had a heck of a time finding this place. So, and I want to mention, while we're on the topic of the Democratic Party, next weekend is the executive board meeting of the California Democratic Party. And they will be meeting, unfortunately for most of us, in Costa Mesa, which is in Orange County. But the good news is that the Progressive Caucus is going to be meeting also on Saturday, July 20th, and I want to get this right, from 5:45 to 7:45 at the Hilton Hotel in Pacific Room 1. And one of our topics, I'm proud to say, is this topic. We're going to have a three-member panel on privacy rights, the NSA, and whistleblowers. And we're going to have three speakers on the topic, including an attorney from ACLU, who specializes in privacy rights. So we're really excited. And if any of you happen to be in the area, or if you are going to the e-board, please drop in. We are the biggest caucus of the Democratic Party. I'm so proud. And I think it's going to be a really exciting meeting. My remarks are going to be very brief. I kind of got a call at the last minute, so I'm here, and I'm going to be brief, and you've got some great speakers today, so I'm not too worried. We all know that the NSA surveillance stemmed from the tragedy of 9/11. And 9/11 and its aftermath has turned our lives upside down, to say the least. In an effort to feel protected, Americans have allowed their civil liberties to be encroached, and this has led to costly wars and more bloodshed. So the question I think we need to ask ourselves in light of these new revelations is, how much longer can we continue to bankrupt ourselves both morally and financially in the name of security? Right. Is the cost of risking innocent Americans from being wrongly accused as a result of this surveillance worth it? Do we really feel safer by allowing our representatives to take away our civil liberties?
No.
Thank you. I don't know what the answer is to feeling safer.
No.
But what I do know is NSA surveillance is not the answer. That's right. Now that we know what is happening, thanks to Ed Snowden, thank you, we must demand of our representatives, we have to let them know that this is not acceptable. And that's why I'm here today, to stand with strong progressives and all of you to join in letting our representatives know that this is not the way that you protect our country and at the same time uphold the Constitution. Thanks for listening. Thank you.
Thank you, Caroline Banuelos. The next speaker is a two-term mayor of the town of Fairfax, Lawrence Bragman. And he has been a member of the Fairfax Town Council for 10 years. He's an attorney who's been practicing civil and criminal law since 1982, and also, among other of his roles, former president of the Marin Trial Lawyers Association and served as director of the Marin Telecommunications Agency, Lawrence Bragman.
First of all, I want to thank Norman and Roots Action for organizing us as a voice to in opposition to really the silence and conformity which has met the revelations of Edward Snowden, especially among Democrats. But it is a bipartisan issue by both Democrats and Republicans alike. What we have is a program for us to accept what's called the new normal, which is really the embezzlement of our constitutional rights to privacy and the rule of law by those who have taken an oath to protect both. And as I look back on my own history and American history, these abuses are neither new nor are they normal. For the past 30 years, since I've been licensed as a lawyer, I've watched the steady erosion of privacy rights and judicial oversight of search and seizure, with my own personal emotions evolving. It began as outrage and has slowly eroded over the years to a cynical acceptance of the contrived judicial reasoning, which creates binding precedent for overzealous policing in the name of law and order. It seems that our collective fear of being labeled soft on crime or national security has trumped allegiance to our duty to protect the precious rights that are guaranteed under the Constitution. With the latest revelation of massive surveillance by the National Security Agency and countless other public and private agencies, it's now abundantly clear that our cynicism has only emboldened and enabled further erosion of our rights. So in my opinion, it's time to scrape away the callus of cynicism and feel the pain that each of these new wounds brings. Because if we don't face the wounds, they will only fester until our very existence is threatened by a massive infection. There is a growing democracy movement, and it's a worldwide movement. And that movement makes me very, very optimistic about the course of our history and maybe that it will bend towards justice. But there is also an insidious counterforce that fears the loss of perceived privilege of control and command. I believe that the grassroots democracy movement is a tectonic force that cannot and will not be stopped, but it can be delayed and detoured for decades if we do not exert our rights now. Because if we remain silent, the government will continue to stand outside the rule of law in the name of a self-defined national security that's immune to examination and discussion by its very nature. That such examination and discussion is overdue is only underlined by the relentless persecution of whistleblowers like Bradley Manning and Edward Snowden. It is indeed ironic that both Manning and Snowden stand accused of betraying our country by exposing the official betrayal of the Constitution and the law. It is indeed chilling that they are both facing erasure of their lives for telling the truth, while others like the head of the NSA can hide behind the cloak of their security clearance to evade it. The final irony, of course, is that Snowden and Manning are accused of espionage for exposing the spying done by our own government into our lives and relationships. Our Constitution endows each of us with inalienable rights of free speech, association, and to be secure in our homes from the intrusion of the state unless a warrant is issued upon probable cause by a neutral magistrate. each of these three legs of due process has been watered down to the point of irrelevance. Now, in order to get the warrant that the NSA got, it was a secret affidavit by a secret person, considered by a secret judge who made a secret decision. That is not due process.
It's not.
Our country does not need more secrecy. It needs more democracy. Yeah. Our constitutional rights are personal guarantees of freedom that each of us own. They are not a commodity that can be traded and diluted by others who stand outside the law and act with impunity. My hope and my plea is for all of us to have the collective strength and the collective courage to demand an open debate about the future of our rights. Sunshine is indeed the most effective cure for illness and fear, and let us commit to opening the shades of fear and letting the sun shine wherever its light is cast. Thank you very much.
Hey.
Thank you, Lawrence Bragman. And our last speaker before we get rolling is Alice Chan. Alice is somebody who, among many other roles, is a co-leader of Progressive Democrats Sonoma County. She's co-chair of the Coalition for Grassroots Progress. And among with other progressives, she has been elected and is currently serving as the AD 10, the Assembly District 10, representative to the California Democratic Party Central Committee. Alice Chan.
Thank you. It's great to see so many of us here today, listening to the things that Bob Harmon had to say and that Larry Bragman just said. I'm reminded of Lily Tomlin's famous saying, no matter how cynical you get, you can't keep up. We are having trouble keeping up with this, for sure. It's been more than a month since we found out officially about what the NSA has been doing to us, spying on our emails, spying on our internet connections, or how we surf the web, spying on our telephone calls, following who we call, then following who they call. It's as bad as if they were getting in their car and following you in their car while you were driving to see a friend and while your friend was driving to see a friend. It's been over a month since we've heard that, but we've heard basically deafening silence from most members of Congress. There's been a few exceptions. Dianne Feinstein has spoken out in favor, of course. She's one of the major apologists for the NSA spying program, and there's one other of note who is here today that we'll be talking about in a minute. Julian Zelizer is a professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. And he recently wrote on a CNN editorial about the NSA spying program. What has been remarkable is how Democrats have expressed little opposition to the surveillance program. Many Democrats have simply remained silent as these revelations have emerged, while others, like Senator Dianne Feinstein, have openly defended the program. And Nancy Pelosi is another one that has openly defended the program. Early in June, when we first started hearing the things that Edward Snowden had released, she said that there was a need to balance our security with our liberty. Balance our liberty with our security. That's a clue right there. Later in June, according to Talking Points memo, she said that she wants her members to be on the same page when they talk to the public about the Patriot Act, the underlying law, that the Democrats and the Democrats' role in crafting it. Her point was that it's not as bad as it used to be. In 2007, in 2008, it's not as bad that it used to be. It's not as bad as when Bush was president. Mark Rummold with the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Bill of Rights. That's her.
Mark Rummold with the Electronic Frontier Foundation says, is less illegal the standard we have to be resigned to? I'd like to think that if we had a Republican president now, we'd be hearing a lot of talk about what's been going on. I don't know whether we would or not. We're certainly not hearing it from under this Democratic president. What can we do? First of all, we can stop being afraid to make noise, and I congratulate every single person who's here today for not being afraid to make noise. Thank you. Democrats have been way too timid about challenging elected Democrats, and everyone who is here today is to be congratulated for not being timid about challenging an elected Democrat. Yeah. It's long past time to stop being polite. What else can we do? We can speak up at every opportunity to our elected representatives. And as Norman said in a piece earlier this week, denunciations of the surveillance state will mean little unless we can build the political capacity to end it. What does building the political capacity to end it mean? If we don't like the Democrats we've got in office, we need to elect us some new ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Better than unquestionably illegal isn't good enough. We need it to actually be legal. So, if you got this message about the event today from the Coalition for Grassroots Progress email, that means you've already signed up with CGP. If you got it through some other means, you should sign up to help this Coalition for Grassroots Progress work on getting true progressives into office. Anna Givens, right there, hold your hand up, has sign-up sheets so that you can get involved in our projects. We are working on the precinct level so that the next time a true progressive candidate shows up, we will have the capacity to actually get them elected. Let's get to work. Thank you.
As Alice said, unfortunately, people who live in San Francisco and in the North Bay, in the North Coast, are represented in the U.S. House either by people who avowedly support the NSA surveillance or are keeping their mouths shut and have complicity in supporting it. Either way, that's unacceptable. Now, here we are, we've gathered together, and now we get to picket and go down Eucalyptus Road. It appears, if my eyesight was not deceiving me, that the leading House Democrat who's supporting NSA surveillance has arrived. It appears that Nancy Pelosi drove through here a few minutes ago. Now we get to walk down this street, walk around in single file, and there's that chant that Julie Combs suggested, which I think is great, the non-rhyming great chant, First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment. As we walk down and around, you may want to keep that in mind as an option. Of course, we're all here dedicated to nonviolence. We're all here dedicated to being assertive for our and everybody's constitutional rights. Martin Luther King Jr. talked about what he called marvelous nonviolent militancy. And in that spirit, we're here, we're nonviolent, and we are adamant. So let's get going. Thanks a lot for being here.
Yes!
This is 5 O'Clock Shadow on the Pacifica Radio Network, where we have been listening to a constitutional rally held over the weekend at the residence and site of a fundraiser for Nancy Pelosi, one of the most powerful members of the House of Representatives and a stalwart supporter of President Barack Obama's expansion of domestic NSA surveillance of all American citizens.
What are you talking about?
We bugged Mr. Blake's cell.
You what?
We bugged the cell with Arnold's tape recorder. Just listen to this, Paul.
I can't listen to that.
But, Paul.
Opie, I can't listen to that. I'm not permitted.
But, Paul, you don't understand.
Opie, I can't listen to this. Now, I told you about eavesdropping.
But, Paul, this is different.
Yes, it's worse. You overheard a conversation that was supposed to be private. Now, I can't be a party to that.
But, Paul, if you just listen to this...
Opie, I can't listen.
Paul, you're erasing the tape.
That's what I mean to do. You bugged a conversation between a lawyer and his client. Now, that's violating one of the most sacred rights of privacy.
But, Paul...
No buts.
But if it helps the law...
Opie, the law can't use this kind of help. Because whether a man is guilty or innocent... We have to find that out by due process of law.
And that concludes today's 5 o'clock shadow. The program was engineered by Michael G. Haskins, Reggie Johnson, and Sean Rhodes. We welcome your comments, questions, leaks, and suggestions with an email to theshadow@wbai.org. And for 5 o'clock shadow, I'm Robert Knight in New York.